So I'd like to welcome you and welcome those that are online. As Sean said, we are continuing on what was started last week. So we have, the kind of recap has been that we have been going through the book of Exodus. And last week we concluded with our Vision Sunday, which ended with the kind of culmination at the end of Exodus, and with Jared preaching about mobilization. And remember, he was using the story of the Exodus and that conclusion at the end of Exodus to remind us of our part in God's plan. And so Jared is traveling. We want to continue to pray for him and his family. I think we have pictures. Yes. So this is confirmation. I would say confirmation of their happiness. No, they're smiling. We were joking after last week that with teenagers, it's not always clear what travels will be like. And this was Jared. Tona was telling me that this is Jared this morning. So remember that they're 8 or 9 hours ahead because they're in Finland. So he's already preached this morning, and he sends his greetings. We also want to remember our youth. So normally there's a section filled over here with our youth, and they are away today at their youth retreat. So please keep Jared and his family in prayer, and keep the youth in prayer. They will be coming back later today. All right, so I'm going to set the stage for the next 2 weeks. I'm actually preaching today with Tono, and I'm preaching next week with Jeremiah. And the topic for the next 2 weeks will be Members on Mission. And that is following or continuing with this theme that Jared presented last week. And the kind of concept here, Members on Mission, would be that we have 2 weeks. This week is Members, and next week is On Mission. So we're going to break that phrase up into two parts. Today we're going to talk about our role, our part in God's plan. And then next week, Jeremiah and I are going to talk about the On Mission. We're going to talk about God's plan. All right, so I was thinking about how to start this. There seems to be this tradition now. I've actually had people ask me about my dad jokes. And it's because I have a calendar. I think next year, if my wife gets me a redneck one, that will be fun because I'll use those instead. Dad jokes. I think even Sean continued this tradition in his sermon. So I've got a dad joke. We'll start off with this. Today we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians. We're going to use that as our passage. I'm going to read from that, and then Tony's going to talk about it. So here's the dad joke, and it's a preface to that one. I will, before I introduce that one, and I want to mention it because I looked up, it's related to the joke. For those of you who have children in the service, Shelly and her team put these together. For those of you who are my age and older, we call these bulletins. These were the things that we would fill in the O's and the B's and the D's when things got boring. And you can still do that as adults. But for those of you, I guess there's two versions of this one. I picked up the 3+. There's also a 7+ version. And in this, there's images. There's images of parts of the body, which is the discussion today. So here's the dad joke. In the passage we're dealing with today, Paul mentions eyes and ears, and then he talks about smelling. So, Tono, do you know why he only mentions eyes and ears?
He is when I need to say why.
I explained to him how these jokes work. And the answer is, nobody knows. I heard that. I think it's the same expression he gave, because what he did is he translates it into Spanish and he goes, that doesn't make any sense. And the answer is, it's not meant to. Yeah. All right, so let's go to 1 Corinthians. And as you're turning there, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. As you're turning there, I want to mention two other verses. And the reason why this is important is Paul, as he's writing, and you see this in multiple letters, we're going to see this. I want to mention Romans and Ephesians, and I'm going to give those references in a moment. He mentions the body, and he uses that as a metaphor for describing the body of Christ. And we use that term body of Christ. And so what we're going to see is that Paul is trying to connect, effectively, he's trying to connect with us by using the language of humanity, in this case, the body. And we're going to see this in 1 Corinthians. In Romans 12, he does this. In Romans 12:5, he says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, she introduces this term, as individual members one to another. We see also in his letter to the Ephesians, he says in Ephesians 4, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body. So this is a common way that Paul is trying to connect and aid us in kind of taking on this concept. So we're going to look now at 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. This is going to be a long passage, so I get to test my reading skills. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, what would not make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smelling? There was the dad joke. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not have need of you. Nor again, the head to the foot, to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a little more excellent way. So that, I think, that's the reading today. I think, Tono, I'm going to let you kind of unpack that one for us.
Yeah, so we see how he started the chapter 12. Paul begins his chapter saying, I don't want you brothers to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. So they are spiritual gifts. And also assuring in the following verses that they are diversity of them. And then God inspires Paul to make this representation that have been helping him to understand the gifts in the body and also the different functions that each member has in the body. And I have to say this morning, what a blessing we have to be part of the body of Christ. Amen. But how did this happen? It says in verse 12 and 13, and this happened because we have been baptized into the body through the Holy Spirit. It says, for just as the one body is one, for the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though my are one body, so it is with Christ. And here is verse 13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. So now, if you have been confessing Jesus as your Savior, recognizing that you need forgiveness for your sins, and have accepted the gift of salvation, this is the good news. You have been baptized into his body, the church. So through the Holy Spirit, we have been baptized. And this is what I like about this. Now God places us where and how he wants to serve him. Verse 18 and 24, he says that God arranged the members. And there are two words that he's using. Arrange is one and compose is one. So God is saying that he have organized it. He have been structured. He have been putting together this body according to his will. So God have placed you where he wants you. And it have been by his will. God knows us. He created us. And we individually have a purpose in his name and for him. Now, it is important also to know, and this is going to be like a Sunday school answer. It's important for us to know who is the head of the body. Do you know who is the head of the body?
Jesus.
It's Jesus Christ, right? And then it says in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, but I will read Colossians 1, 18, says, and he is before all things. And in him, talking about Christ, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. So we are the body of church, the body of Christ, the church. But everyone has a function in this body. I want you to look around. Look around all of us. We are brothers and sisters. We all of us have a different function in his body. He have been placing in us a gift for us to be edified in each other. So Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Something that we have been seeing in these passages in Corinthians and in Romans is that God gives us different gifts. And the first verses also says that he gives us different gifts, ways to serve, and different activities. But what is a gift in the New Testament? This refers to our spiritual ability given by the Holy Spirit, that in his exercise in ministry glorifies God and edifies the church. But there is something special also in the verse 11. And let's see this, because it's so important. That gift that he has been giving us is not just given, but empowered by his Holy Spirit. Verse 11 says, all these are empowered, referring to the gifts, by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Once again says, according to his will. If you're seeing this passage, Paul will say, and the verse says that God is the one that empowers, but the verse 11 says that it's his Holy Spirit. So this is what happened. God empowers us through the Holy Spirit. We function then, brothers and sisters, in the power of the Spirit. He gives us his gift, and also he gives us the power to use it. So with all of this, I need to say to all of us, we need each other. We need each other. And there is something that I always use when we're talking about 1 Corinthians and say this. We are part of the church. We have been baptized in Christ's body. We are the church. So we need to be connected. We need to be in the church. But also, and this is the part where it gets excited, because the church needs us. In a way that we have been receiving from God a gift that will bless also the church. So what you have from him is needed here.
All right, so like with last week, and this was one of those things where Jared kind of set us up. As we were preparing this sermon, Jared said to us, certainly you should engage relative to the Bible, and we should lay a foundation. But Jared asked us to get very practical. He said he wanted us to answer the questions of, okay, so fine, I'm part of the body, I get that. But what does this eye and ear and foot, you know, how do you actualize that? What does it mean? And so we wanted to come up with a couple things that we think are helpful. I think the first one is to appreciate that you need to pray about it. And that sounds, again, like a Sunday school answer, right? It sounds in the same way that Jesus is the answer. I think the first thing that is important is prayer. But I think the reason why I emphasize prayer in this is that often when we pray, we don't pray with expectancy that God is going to answer that prayer. And I think it's important for us to enter into this question of what's my role in the body by earnestly praying, but praying with an expectation that God is going to use your circumstances and people around you to help you ferret this out. Right? And I think we often say, God, I want to understand what's my role in the body, and we walk on. And I think Hebrews 11, I think it's a very famous chapter, we've discussed this one, and we often start off with Hebrews 11:1, talking about faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think it's important to appreciate Hebrews 11:6, and there it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that earnestly seek him. And so I think point number one would be, and like I said, it sounds like a Sunday school answer, but you should pray about what's your role in God's body, and when you pray, pray with expectancy that he is going to answer that, and that answer could come in multiple ways by his Spirit, meaning it could come through engagement with his body, engagement with his Spirit, engagement with his word. But pray with expectancy. I think the second point I would raise is that there's nothing wrong with using various tools that are available to us to aid us in figuring out what are some of your gifts. I think for those of you in the business world, you may have taken Myers-Briggs, right? This is an example of something that's been used, I think, since the 1950s. And there's variants of this. I had an example, Strength Finders. So this is the book associated with it. Another example where you can, normally through a collection of questions, those questions can help you identify certain skills that you have, strengths that you have, things that you can bring to the body. And I think in some sense, this is like with, and you see this hinted to in Paul, and that is that the function, right, notice he said, even in Paul in the scripture, he uses the term seeing and hearing and smelling. He's using that function to hint to then what was, for instance, eye and ear. And so we see even in Paul using the metaphor of the body that he's helping you appreciate that as you watch what you do well or what you're excited by, then you can ask, is that part of the gifting that God has given to me to use in his body? So I think the third point I would raise, that's point number two. So point number one is prayer. Point number two is there's nothing wrong with using some of these tools to aid you in, it's a form of self-discovery. As a Christian, I don't particularly like that. I think it's God discovery, meaning he's helping you discover something about yourself and the way he created you. And I think the third one is actually engaging with others. So I was teaching Sunday school and we were discussing science is real was the topic. So we discussed all kinds of things concerning science. There's probably many people in this church that are like me that they like algorithms. So ideally, after hearing point number one about prayer and point number two about doing a test, number three, you want, okay, so once I have it, what are the steps that I do? Right? I think if you think like me, then after point number two, you want an algorithm. You want, once I have it, then I'm going to do A, then I'm going to do B, then I'm going to do C. And the answer here, and I think it's a challenge for people like me, so for those of you who self-identify with me, the challenge is this is a lot more of a mentoring experience in that, I think, and this is, I think, the way God has set this up. And that is that as you engage in faith doing things as an experiment, and the experiment is, God, is this something that you have gifted me with? You will then have to engage with others, pastors, elders, teachers, those in this body, where some of them are able by his Spirit to say, you know, you're really good at that. And I think often when we think of faith and we think of the Spirit, we connect those together and we take a very individualistic American view, which is, if God wanted me to do it, he would tell me. And I think the interesting part is that I think to stretch our faith, often God does things like, if he wants me to do it, he'll force me to stretch by letting me know through somebody else. And I think this is one of the challenges with working out your gifts, is that there will be people in this body you will engage with where when walking along with them side by side, they'll lean over and go, oh, you're pretty good at that. And that is part of God using his body to speak to you. So I think, you know, if you're looking for an algorithm, unfortunately, there's not one. There's not going to be a bulletin at the end where you can say, okay, do these five steps. If there was, I'd write it, and there'd be lots of tithe money. But I think the key thing is to, the key thing is to appreciate the fact that stepping out in faith, when we use that term stepping out in faith, I think often we use it in a grandiose sense. And there's nothing wrong with those giant leaps of faith in terms of God, but I think when I use that term stepping out in faith, that may mean somebody asks you to do something in this body, and you step out and you do it. Even though you go, I don't know that I actually like it. I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I'm the right person. I don't know all those. And you set those aside, and you say, I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna go do that. And you let the Spirit in prayer and through others and through his word speak to you. So I think those are three important things that come out of this. Kind of to summarize this passage, we have that we're made up of many parts, but one body. I think that we have various gifts, and those gifts have a kind of, I'll call it a timeliness to them. You never know why God has given to you particular gifts at particular times. So I'll give you an example. So Tono and I once went to the symphony together. I am, it's not even fair to say I'm a budding musician. I don't know, I'm a novice starting musician. I just started this. So we were going together. I was there just in awe of the music. You know, the volume and the diversity of things happening. Tono, as a musician, viewed it differently. And it was interesting because as he and I were driving back, he expressed to me what he took away from this. And I think it's timely to this. I'll let Tono tell the rest of this.
So before I share, I need to say that Mike is a musician. He played the bass with us, you know, and for every Sunday in the iglesia services, so yeah. But yeah, this experience, I remember, I mean, we got the blessing to be there. Where I was able to see the whole, I tell Courtney, I would say the whole band, but no, they're no band, they're the musicians. You know, they were there. And you know, it was so passionate to see like the director giving the directions to the, you know, the section here, and the section here. And the sound was amazing. But and then I was just noticing in the back a guy sitting, like probably like I am right now here, like this, all the time. And he probably was sitting there like 90% of the concert. But there was moments in the songs, you know, the music. Let's say that, yeah. I just want to bring it out. So the director and all the musicians were putting into the climax of that, and then the guy just stood up, right, and get his cymbals and wait for the moment, and then everything was kind of like ready there, and then in the moment he just came and do that, and then that was the moment that everybody celebrated, and then put it back, careful, and sitting out.
No, this is real. It was just that. It was like, there's a movie in the 90s like this. I can just, you know, you could just imagine the guy's like this, and he's watching, yeah. And then back. But I think, you know, in that story, and Tono pointed this out, I think in two parts as we were driving home. One of them was that if the cymbals weren't there, if you had removed them, the piece, the musical piece, would not have been the same, right? The sound the cymbals made at the particular time within the symphony, it had a role with how that was constructed. And then Tono, as we were driving home, he commented. He said, it's kind of neat that this is the way the body of Christ is like. So he actually referenced, as we were driving home, he referenced this passage in that he pointed out the fact that we never know exactly when, for instance, our chiming of the cymbal, whenever that comes to bear, right? We will, on this side of eternity, we never necessarily know when that happens. Our part in that, and it's a, you know, it's a nice kind of visual or musical metaphor here.
So I was leaving that concert thinking in this. You know, I was excited because I said, if I'm the one that guy, like, you know, just wait for those moments and have a special time when it comes. You know, I was like, what God has placed in me by grace is for his glory and for edification. So there is not like a smaller gift than other ones. I mean, everything that we have received and the gift that he has been placing in us is going to be an edification for his church and for his glory. I would say something, Mike, and if I can take this, I tell Mike, I have this representation, but I just want to tell you guys, and if the kids are here, you guys are going to enjoy this, because I enjoy this when I hear my dad sharing this. So my dad, using illustrations to talk about those verses, he said, one time the nose was so annoyed because he was, the eyes need the glasses like me, right, to able to see. And the nose was complaining and saying, like, I'm so tired to be carrying those glasses. I don't need those glasses. You know, I breathe and I smell. I don't need those glasses. That is your problem. And then the ears were saying, yeah, I mean, kind of like the same thing. I kind of like need to carry those things that, you know, they decide to don't use them. You know, that's in the story, right? And then they decide, no more glasses. So he started walking. He didn't see the step, and he went this way. And you know who paid the consequence first? The nose. So the lesson here is we need each other.
That'll be the one thing you'll remember out of this whole sermon is Tono describing face planting and how the nose.
Yeah. The second language. Yeah.
All right, to conclude this point, I think there's kind of two concluding thoughts on this. One of them is, I think it is important to appreciate that within the New Testament, we have various places in which we have listings of various gifts. And I don't think they're meant to be all-inclusive, but we certainly have within 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, we have a collection of gifts of the Spirit sandwiched, and love is the sandwich in between. We have in Romans 12, there were the discussions of administration and serving. And then in Ephesians, we have, again, a reiteration of some of these. And so, again, it's not an exhaustive list, but there are places in which Paul was trying to highlight certain things. I think Jared, even last time, mentioned the spirit or giftings of administration and service, that these are the types of things that are listed. So I think that's point number one that I would like to mention. The other one, before we conclude this point, is to appreciate, for some of you who've been in the church, like myself, broadly, a long time, you might be hearing all this and say, yes, I agree, I'm a member, I've appreciated that I'm a member of a body, and so I would like to then encourage you to think about this differently, especially as one who may have been walking a long time with the Lord, and you do feel that you've been engaging in his body, and that is, ask afresh what your role is. And I say that because your role may be now to mentor others. I think, back to the other point, I hate saying this, which is as I get older. Because when you're younger, you never think that you're ever going to say as I get older. But unfortunately, as I get older, what I realize is my life experiences are not all expressive of all possible things. But there's a lot of things that I've been through for which, when I talk with younger Christians, I'm able to say, I kind of suggest you do this. And some of it is the fact that God has gifted me with experiences and gifted me with engaging with him in ways that I can turn around and say, I've done that, and you may want to think about this. And so for those of you who've been in church a long time and you hear this message and it's reaffirming in terms of you being part of the body, I'd like to also remind you that your role now may be, like it says in Titus, your role may now be to engage with others. You might be that voice of the Spirit in which you're helping them work through their part in the body. All right, so we're now going to transition to the second point. For those of you who are really, really like outlines, your first concern now is point number one. We just had almost all the time, and you're worried that we're going to do that for two more points. No, this was the pinnacle point. There's two other points, and the two other points now are smaller. I don't want to call them caveat points, but they're meant to highlight now or to give nuance to this main point. The main point was that we're all members of one body. I think point number two, and it's meant to clarify this point, is that as members, we're not looking to each other in terms of comparison, We are looking to what God has, how God has gifted us, and how we're responsible to God for how we use those gifts. So we're going to now look at a particular parable to help us unpack that one. And in this case, Tono is going to read, and again for diversity, he's going to read verses 14 to 19 of Matthew. So we're going to be going to Matthew 25, and the whole passage is 14 through 30. He's going to read the first verses, I think 14 through 19. He's going to read them in Spanish, and then he's going to unpack it for us in English.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Just make sure, because if he keeps going, I'm going to have to stop you. Okay.
You guys can follow 14 to 19. Porque el reino de los cielos es como un hombre que yéndose lejos, llamó a sus siervos y les entregó sus bienes. A uno dio 5 talentos y a otro dio 2 y a otro 1. A cada uno conforme a su capacidad. Y luego se fue lejos. Y el que había recibido 5 talentos fue y negoció con ellos y ganó otros 5 talentos. Asimismo, el que había recibido 2 ganó otros 2. Pero el que había recibido 1 fue y cavó en la tierra y escondió el dinero de su señor. Después de mucho tiempo vino el señor de aquellos siervos y arregló cuentas con ellos. So I'm going to stop there and I will switch to English now. In this parable, its context is talking about the coming of the Lord and points to the question, what are we doing with what he has given to us while we were waiting for his coming? In the same way, I will use this to describe that in this parable, I'll use this to describe that each of us has received a gift in the moment of conversion. Ephesians 1:13 says that if we believe in this gospel, we have been sealed by his spirit, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and with his Holy Spirit also we have been receiving this gift. But this gift, I would say, is we're receiving the same call here. We're called to use it for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12 says it, for each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. I like this because the Holy Spirit is the one that is manifesting, you know, through us. Because remember, he is the one that is empowering the gift in us. But he is doing it for the common good. So we receive those gifts to the common good, but also to minister each other. Romans 12, 4 and 6 says, I will read verse 6. We are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. That is so important. Let us use them. And then, so we're seeing that we receive those gifts to the common good, to minister each other, but also, and this is the important one, this is for his glory. And we're called to be good stewards of what God has given to us through his varied grace. I will read 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, each one of us have been receiving a gift. That's the truth. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speak as one who speak oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything, this is important, God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Something that I see here is also that those gifts that we have, the gift that we have been receiving is by grace. Romans 12, 3, 12, 6 said it, and we read it in 1 Peter 4, 10. We receive it by his grace. In this passage as we're studying, it's also clear that it's only by grace that we can be instruments, that we can be servants of God. The question that we might have then is like, do I have a gift? The answer is yes, you have a gift. Question we must ask ourselves is, am I using that gift? Because we will give account to the gift that we receive.
So I think in this parable, what we see is that one of the important parts, as we're discussing, each of us are members, each of us have gifts, that we are not to look to the right or the left in terms of comparison. I think the scripture that comes to mind is John 21:21. This is an example, you know, of many of the cases in which Peter highlights something we're not to do. Jesus, just prior to John 21:21, is having this conversation with Peter about, do you love me? And his response, feed my sheep. So that passage, I think, has been preached many times. 21:21 is the verse that I like, which is after that description, then Jesus says something to Peter about what's going to happen at the end of his life. And what does Peter say? Peter says, what about him? Right? So Peter's statement is about John. And I think what we want to highlight is don't be a Peter in this regard. Matthew 25 highlights to us that God has given me responsibilities and that he's going to evaluate me for those. He's not going to, it's not a comparison. Right? All right, so now we've discussed members. We've discussed one of the things that's important, and that is that as he has given us a diversity of gifts, we're to view it relative to the gifting God has given us and also the responsibility we as an individual have to God for that. I think the second part, whenever you hear something in which 25 minutes has been discussing diversity, is to remember that God did this, created us as one body. That is, that there's a unity. So let's look at Ephesians 4, and I think the band can come up while we're finishing this last point. We want to end with kind of reemphasizing what you see in Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. And I'll read it. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift.
Something that we see in those verses also is that we're called to live lives that glorify God. We know that we're part of the church, we're part of his body, we have a gift, we can bless each other, we can use it, and as Mike was saying, we're not going to be comparing ours with the other ones. We need each other, but also we are called in those verses that are together there, like to glorify God in our lives. This is something interesting, because the unity that the body of Christ will give testimony to the people also outside. So we are called to be unified. But something that, and this is interesting, when we see all the gifts that we have received, the way that we can use it for his glory, and the unity that we can show or express, that will be a testimony of what God is doing, because he is the one that is working in us. But this is something that I want to tell you guys, that we are not the ones to create that unity. Remember, God is the one that places us where he wants. That is the one that put the body together. So he is the one. But in this particular verse, it's saying that we are called to maintain, to live diligently in unity. And I have here like two things that we're going to, I hear this years and years ago and it's sticking in my mind. You know, marbles? Let's say that we are all of those marbles here. And then I'm going to put it in this bag where they were before. So we're seeing that these marbles are unity outside. I unified from outside. But what happens if I make a hole in this bag? Everything is going to come out, right? Because the unity that we are trying to create is from outside. But as Christians, as being part of the body, we are kind of like those magnets. That unity comes from inside. So the Holy Spirit in us and everything that he is doing in us and he's calling us is to live together with the different gifts, with the different things that he has been putting in us. We are called to be one in his body. But that doesn't come from what we're going to be working, trying to create that unity. It's working but the Holy Spirit in us and what He has been done in our lives, that He's gonna put us together. So, and also one thing that I want to say is that God is the one that gives the growth in this body, but He uses the activity of each other. And I will read this last passage in Ephesians 4:15-16. But it is speaking true in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by the joints with its equip, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So church, He won, and He will use us for His glory.
So as we're coming to a conclusion today, where we started was with the members on mission. And we unpacked members, and we talked a lot about diversity, but we want to end with reminding you that, like we saw in this Ephesians passage, there's a whole lot of one. And that as we're going, as Sean's going to lead us, what we want you to do is kind of pray about your part in that body and how you, in this next week, you can actively engage with God in His Spirit and His Word and His body to figure out your place in that body. So with that, we'll let Sean lead us.